I don't know how people do it, but I can't transition in the natural after being up in the spiritual. So I might as well get into the Word. We'll get into that. We'll do the announcement. We'll receive the offering. As Pastor Sarah used to say, if you're finished before I am, you could leave your offering in the box as you leave. But we have to get to the place where we just embrace who we are. Amen. I mean, embrace who we are. There was a football game. Most of you probably saw it. It was a movie, Facing the Giants. And in one scene, they were winning so much, the coach told his players, go out there and leave no doubt. See, when you leave no doubt, you don't just win by a few points. You let it all hang out. And we have to get to the point where when people look at us, they leave no doubt as to who we are. No doubt. We were talking last night, and there was incidents where we had someone that, working in a government position, restricted on what they can say, but doesn't let that stop them. And because the people recognized who they were, when they were in trouble, they'd ease over to their office and say, would you pray for me? Would you pray with me? Why? They left no doubt. No doubt. Wave back at me, Doris. Leave no doubt. I don't know if God's giving me a new message, but he wants his children to be highly visible. Say highly visible. He wants his children to stand out from the crowd. You know, I was thinking, this came in my thinking while I was in my office. There are a lot of big football games this weekend. It's rivalry weekend, I believe. They got Army-Navy. So it's a big game. They have the NFL games. Have you ever watched the fans? They leave no doubt as to who they're supporting. They leave no doubt as to who they're identifying with. And they don't care what you think about it. If the colors are blue and gold, someone will come out, half their body's gold, the other half is blue. And they go down the street, walking, talking, doing whatever it is they want to do. Marie, you have a word?
I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. You are my workmanship. Oh, I love you. I love you. And if you've received me, you have an inheritance that I provided for you. You've been loosed. You're loosed. You're not going to be loosed. You've already been loosened. You are loose from the shackles that bind. You're loose to follow me. You're loose to serve me. You're loose from sickness. You're loose from disease. You're loose from lack. You're loose from oppression. You're loose from depression. You're loose from spirits of suicide. You're loosed. You're loosed. You're loose to walk in love with me. And with my people. You're loose to tell the people who I am. My word says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. You're free. You're free. You're free. Not because of what man did, because of what I did. You're free. You're free to follow me. So follow me. Believe it and receive it and follow me. For you already have the victory. Yes. And I'm with you always. You don't go alone. I'm here with you. So follow me. Follow me. Receive your inheritance and follow me.
Hallelujah. You need to focus on all of that word, but especially the last part of it. Receive your inheritance. See, the inheritance has been left. The inheritance is that you have to identify as one who's deserving of the inheritance. Hi, by accepting the one who left it. So it's there. You don't have to wait for it. It's there. You have to identify with it and receive it. And it's hard for me, knowing everything I went through, going through, might go through, whatever, and knowing who's the one that brings me through, I have a hard time understanding why folks can't get excited about that. I do. Because I see us excited about other things. Using the football analogy again, the Dallas Cowboys win, half the nation goes with gaga. But let someone come and fill up the same arena speaking the gospel. We have to. How many of you want the world to be saved? Then why don't we act like it? Where is the world right now? They're in trouble. They're in a mess. Are they in church? But we are. How many people didn't walk here? Raise your hand. How many people didn't come on public transportation? Where's the world? Why didn't you bring them? When you have something that's so good, everybody wants Aunt Mamie's sweet potato pie. I got to bring you some. It's good. It's the best yet. Well, if it's something that's that good, you want to share it, don't you? We're not on that program, Hoarders. We're going to hoard everything that Christ did for us. Do we believe it's good? Why won't we share it? Why won't we share it? Instead of telling people, you need to come to church. Why don't they, I'll pick you up Sunday morning at 7:30 and take you to church with me. Why? Because we're identifying with Christ. That's who we're identifying with, and that's what's important. Jesus said, all right, Lord, we're going to go for a roller coaster ride. Go to 2 Corinthians 6. Father, I'm saying what you told me to say. Not pulling any punches. If we're going to be effective witnesses and role models for Christ, then there's some things we need to think about, and then there's some questions that we may need to answer. Are you 2 Corinthians? Passion Translation, 2 Corinthians 6, starting at verse 14. Something to think about. Don't continue to team up with unbelievers and mismatched alliances. It says don't. Then it asks the question, for what partnership is there between righteousness and rebellion? What's the answer? 5, 6, 7. Who could mingle light with darkness? You have to answer that question. Devil represents darkness. Christ is the light. You can't mingle the two. Because wherever light is shining, there is no darkness. It's impossible for light and darkness to occupy the same space. What harmony can there be between Christ and Satan? Or what does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? You have to ask yourself those questions when these circumstances pop up. What friendship does God's temple have with demons? Here's a thought to ponder. For indeed, we are the temple of the living God. Just as God has said, I will make my home in them. Walk among them. I will be their God, and they will be my people. For this reason, because of everything I just said, come out from among them and be separate. Because you belong to Christ, come out from among the world and be separate, be a separate entity. Turn to your neighbor and say, I think he wants us to be separate. Touch nothing that is unclean. If it's not from God, it's not harmless. It's harmful. If you watch nature programs, there's some very beautiful creatures out there. They're colorful. You want to just pick it up and just hug it. You do that and you die because it's poisonous. It's poisonous. Some animals know that and avoid them. But some just have to have a touch. Well, you take the bait. How many of you like fish? So do I. But that fish we eat is one that took bait. We count on it. We put the bait out there, and we count on it taking the bait. Not because it's good for the fish, but because it's good for us. Thinking that in that same principle, the enemy puts bait out there for you to think this is good. And then once you get caught in the snare, you find out it was good for nothing. And you wind up with a testimony or an obituary. One of the two. Not because God doesn't love you, not because he doesn't have the power, but because we made a dumb choice. We put things in motion. He says, come out from among them and be separate. And in John 17, in the Message Bible, verse 13 to 19, he's talking, Jesus is praying, and he's telling the Father, now I'm returning to you. But then he said something, and I never saw it before. That's why I like reading different translations. He said, I'm saying these things in the world's hearing. I'm not keeping this a secret. I want everybody to know this. And he said, I'm saying it so my people can experience my joy complete in them. And he's saying this publicly. I gave them my word. He gave us his word. And the godless world hates us because of it. Because we didn't join their ways. You need to understand that when you make a choice to come out from among them, and stay with your own people, people of God, the world's going to hate you. And they're going to try and make it hard for you. They're going to try and prove to you that your God can't. That's what they're going to try and do. And Jesus, so confident in who he is and who we are because of him, he said to the Father, they are in this world. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world. This is a godless world. It's a mess out here. I'm not asking you to take them out. Keep them above the evil. And he said, and this is how you do it, as if God didn't know. Sanctify them by your truth. See, you can separate. It's easy to separate people, because that's sanctify means to separate. Really, it's separate for use by God. But I could separate these chairs and just move it over. I could separate you from one another, but if you don't value the separation, you'll move back. If you don't understand why you're being separated, you'll move back. We need to understand why we've been separated for God's use, because he doesn't want us to go back. And he said, so this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to separate myself for their sake. So he separated himself for our sake so that we can know it can be done. It can be done. He didn't get caught up in the world. When the world confronted him, he said what Father told him to say and moved on. They got so angry with him, they grabbed him and were going to throw him off the brow of a cliff. Can you imagine? You have your hands wrapped on someone, taking them to throw them off a cliff, and all of a sudden they're not there. I would never look for him again. That's me. I wouldn't. But he said, I'm saying these things in the world's hearing so my people can experience my joy completed in them. I gave them your word. The godless world hated them because of it, because they didn't join the world's ways, just as I didn't join the world's ways. Understand this. They are no more defined by the world than I'm defined by the world. Don't let the world tell you who you are. Don't let the world tell you what you're supposed to say, how you're supposed to act. You ain't defined by that. Those of you that are proper, you are not defined by that. The rest of you ain't. And you need to know that. Just like Jesus ain't. He said, make them holy, consecrated with the truth. He says, just said it again. Your word is consecrating truth. In the same way you gave me a mission in the world, I give them a mission in the world. I'm consecrating myself for their sake. Listen to this. So they'll be truth consecrated in their mission. We will always be set apart by the truth. We need to understand that. I'll tell you what some of it includes. It says in your mission, what's our mission? What's our mission? Going to all the world, preach the gospel to who? We need to be conscious of that as we go. Because if we're conscious of it, we stop looking at people and start seeing souls. Because when you look at people, prejudices come up. We have this habit of wanting to do away with folks that act up. Can you imagine if God had that problem? He'd be the only one here. Well, him and Jesus would be here, and the Holy Spirit. Michael would be here, Gabriel. But he wants us to be truth consecrated. Consecrated by the truth. T- Turn with me, please, to 1 Peter 2. Let me tell you this first. And I apologize for going all over the place, but I'm saying it to you as he's saying it to me. I have nice organized notes, but that's not the way he's going today. The word, as I said, sanctify means make holy, set apart for God. It also means to make a person or thing the opposite of common. Jesus made himself to be uncommon so that we could become uncommon. That means we're supposed to be uncommon. We're supposed to be different. We're supposed to be peculiar. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into the marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God. We went from not being a people to being the people. Why? We answered the call to come out of darkness into the marvelous light, which in time past we're not a people, but are a people which has not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. So think about it. Why are you here? Why are you peculiar? Why are you no longer in darkness? God chose you. God chose you. And the minute, we have to understand this, folks. The minute, God, the second God chose you, the very second he chose you, darkness had to let you go. The moment God chose us, anything against us had to yield. It's like they're holding on to us. God chose us. They got an electric shock. They have to go. We have to understand that. Darkness had never seen a creature like you before. That's why the word says we are new creatures in Christ Jesus. When God chose you, we went from slavery to royalty, from nobody to somebody, from unholy to holy, from condemnation to reconciliation. How do I know this? I read Titus 2:11 to 15. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and this glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from some iniquity, a little bit of purity. All iniquity, is that what it says? Let me rewrite it. No. It said from all iniquity. Now, before I move any further, I have to ask you my Deacon Ken question. What does all mean? What's left out of all? What's included in all? So nothing left out and everything in there. We've been redeemed from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, an uncommon people, a different people, a people who doesn't act like them. Instead of acting like them, they're acting like him. That's what we need to do. That's the type of people we need to be. And not just on Sunday between 10 a.m. and 12:30. Like I said, we have choices that we have to make. There's another. I have a question. Jesus had come out from among them and be separate. What do you get if you say no? What if you say no? I'm not coming out from among them. I'm not going to be separate. I don't like everything that I have to say being in Christ. I don't like the stands we have to. Some of these sayings are hard. Well, the disciples had to make that choice in John 6. It said, when many of Jesus' followers, verse 60, when many of Jesus' followers heard these things, it caused a stir. This is disgusting, they said. How could anybody accept it? Without telling anyone, Jesus knew they were outraged and told them, are you offended over my teaching? What will you do when you see the Son of Man ascending into the realm from where he came? What will you do? 65. He went on to say, this is why I told you that no one embraces me unless the Father has given you to me. And so from that time on, many of the disciples turned their backs on Jesus and refused to be associated with him. Jesus went to his 12 and said, and you? Do you also want to leave? Peter, but Lord, where would we go? No one but you gives us the revelation of eternal life. We're fully convinced that you are the anointed one, the Son of the living God, and we believe in you. That's what they said while people were dropping out like flies, offended by the saying. Why? Because they have a love for the things of the world. And if I stand over here firm in what Jesus said, I can't go over there. I had some folks that I thought I was friendly with, I need to say it that way, when I was out there as Foots. And we literally put our lives on the line one for another because we thought we were that close. When I got born again, I was supposed to drop them like a sack of potatoes, but I couldn't. Or I should say I wouldn't. Not because I just so valued the friendship, I wanted them to get the same thing I got. Because I cared for them. They didn't want it. And Father told me, leave them alone. And it's like I dropped off the face of the earth. I came out from among them, and I was separate and didn't go back. I tried a couple of times to call one of them, and they always had an excuse. Every time I called, they were always ready to go to the same place. Father said, leave it alone, so I left it alone. I believe if he got me, he can get them too. But Jesus said, do you want to leave? Or are you going to stay here to the end and believe and trust in me fully? He said, we're fully convinced. Are you fully convinced? Because if you haven't shaken the world off, you're not fully convinced. And you think you need a life preserver. We've already had our life preserved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not a Son into this world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. Jesus was a life preserver. This There's an English proverb, I may have told you about this. It said, birds of a feather flock together. I wanted to find out the true meaning of that phrase. So I came across a resource called the Smart Vocabulary. And it said, it's people who have similar characters or interests, especially ones of which you disapprove, and who often spend time with each other. It means to be cast into the same mold, to be of like mind, to be of the same mind, to be on the same wavelength. We have to stop flocking with the world. We have to stop being of the same mindset as the world. Romans 12:2 says, stop imitating the world. Stop. Didn't say think about it. It said, stop imitating the world. As a matter of fact, the Passion Translation says, stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the current culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in His eyes. You will be discerning as you're living this out. Stop trying to get the discernment before you get to life. You'll get what you need as you're walking, as you're going. What you need to keep going will show up. Listen, God sent Abraham and Isaac to Mount Moriah. They passed by a lot of good sacrifice mountains on the way, much shorter distance. But there was something at Moriah that wasn't at any other mountain. The ram in the bush. The ram in the bush. If he doesn't follow God's instructions, Isaac is dead. Why? Because God sent the provision to a place, and then he told you, go to that place. And if you go, everything you need, RLCC, will be there. Everything. Stop looking at what you have currently. What you have currently is for this moment. How do I know that? Matthew 6:33. The Bible tells us to be careful, be anxious for nothing. But everything by prayer and supplications, and this is the part we leave out, with thanksgiving. Thank you, Father, that my back doesn't hurt when I do walk like this. Or if I'm sitting down and it feels like someone's driving a stake through my back, I'm sitting down, thank you, Father, joy of the Lord is my strength. Thank you, Father, you've healed my back. Thank you, Lord, I'm obedient to do the things that you told me to do so the healing can take place. Those of you wondering why, well, how come you lay hands on people? How come your back is still hurting? There's some things about me you don't know. But I'll tell you this. I'm not always disciplined. And if I'm not always disciplined, it means I am undisciplined. Because I didn't continue doing the things that I knew I needed to do. For reasons that were just dumb. The same thing that I have to do outside of the therapy hospital, I had to do when I was going to the therapy hospital. Made an appointment, got up, do whatever I had to do, didn't let anything get in the way, and I got to my appointment and did the exercises. Now it's time there is finished. till I think the second, third week in January, then I start a different body part. But when I was finished going there, I said, oh, I'm finished doing exercises. Everybody say, D-U-M-B. So it interfered with what should have been happening with my back. So you repent, and you get back on track. And you understand something. It ain't the devil. It ain't the devil. Luke 10:19 tells us that Jesus gave us power. The Amplified Bible. Physical and mental strength and ability over all the power the devil possesses. And he said, and nothing shall by any means harm me. So the devil can't put anything on me unless I want it. They'll throw something on me and say, oh, this, I like the fit. Bait. I put it on and all of a sudden, if it's not from my Father, I don't want it. I don't care how it's packaged. Oh, yes, Lord. Thank you. Please understand that your actions are the result of who you are and or who you are not. Want me to say it again? Your actions are the result of who you are and or who you are not. Need to remember that. You're always going to respond based on who you are, on who you really are. How many people believe 1 Corinthians 13? Interesting, it's not everybody. So we say we believe 1 Corinthians 13, but we can tell you every single time someone got us angry. How many times they did it, the intensity level that they did it, what you told them when they did it. Over and over and over and over and over. Jesus said, a new commandment I give you. Love one another. We don't have a problem with that part. It's this next part. The same way I love you, you love one another. Well, you have to ask yourself a question. How did Jesus love me? He died. He died. He took torture. He took beatings. Because he loved us. What are we willing to do? Because we love one another. What are we willing to go through? Because we love the lost. I don't believe, because I hear a lot of folks say, well, I have to love the unlovable. Who's unlovable? Since God so loved the world must be lovable. And there is nobody that's unlovable. When you say, I love the unlovable, you've tagged them. And now you've given the devil free rein to make them act in strange ways. Because you said they're unlovable. We're winding down. There was one more. Here it is. Matthew 10. Passion Translation. Very important, folks. Well, all of the Bible is very important. But starting at verse 30. So don't worry, for your Father cares deeply about even the smallest detail of your life. listen to this. If you openly and publicly acknowledge me, I will testify, I will freely and openly acknowledge you before my Heavenly Father. But if you publicly deny that you know me, I will also deny you before my Father. Now think about that scene. Something that you should have been forgiven for, but you denied Christ. And the devil's there with God. Jesus is there. He's our intercessor. And the devil is laying these accusations. And Father looks at the Son, and the Son says, I don't know him. Where does that leave you? We need to understand that when you publicly deny, Jesus publicly denies. We need to understand that. So what is it about that group you won't come out from among? Perhaps you think I've come to spread peace and calm over the earth, but my coming will bring conflict and division, not peace. He who comes to me, verse 38. And whoever comes to me must follow in my steps and be willing to share my cross and experience it as his own, or he cannot be considered to be my disciple. All who seek to live apart from me will lose it all. True story. Not sitting down because it's a long story. Before I received Christ, like I said, I was out there like most folks were out there. And one day I got a call from Mommy. And she had a strange tone in her voice. And I'm like, oh, Lord, she needs something. And she's like, son, can you come by? I'm like, son. Okay, Mommy, I'll be by. I brought my wallet with me because usually that meant she needed some money. I came, and she had a real strange look on her face. Kind of like she was in pain, but she wasn't in pain. I said, Mommy, what's the matter? She said, God told me to tell you something. I'm like, I don't want to. She said, no, son, really. Let me. Said, okay, Mom, go ahead. God told me to tell you that you need to receive Christ and you need to do it now. I'm like, oh, really? What brought all this on? And I started looking for the Gallo Cream Sherry bottle. That was the wine during those times. And she said, no, son, I know you have your feelings about church and church people, but everybody's not like that. And God said you really need Jesus in your life. And I said, that was arrogant. What's going to happen if I don't? She got quiet. She looked down. And she looked up and said, son, you'll lose everything. And I said, everything I have is the result of my hard work. And I looked at her and I said, I'll take my chances. And I left. Within 2 years, I was divorced. No job, lost everything. Lost everything. Started working to, quote unquote, build myself back up. But I could only get but so far. You know, I had to do something. I mean, I had the children I had to support. But things didn't start moving for me until I met Minister Phyllis, who wasn't Minister Phyllis then, She was a minister, though. And because of her, I came here one time. No, I only came once. I never left. God gave me all he had in that one visit. I'm taking the time to tell you this, folks, to let you know this isn't something to play with. When God says, come out from among them and be separate, he means it. He means it. We have to be known as his people. We have to be known. I was talking to Dan Lee. And he said, several times over the years, he's on the bus going home, and someone would come and sit next to him on the bus and said, I need to talk to someone, and you're a pastor. He said, I'm not a pastor. I attend church. I'm a Christian, but I'm not a pastor. But there was something about him sitting on the bus that drew people to him. Minister Phillips and I sit in a restaurant, this one in particular. People were drawn to there. Come by, will you bless us? Bless you. There should be something about us that attracts the people. There should be something. I hear about this new cologne that's supposed to have pheromones in it and draw people to you. But I don't know about that, and I'm not pushing that product, but I am saying that there should be something about us, and that about us should be the Christ living actively in us that draws people to us. And they're going to come and ask us, will you pray for me? Or ask you other questions that you're equipped to answer. And if you sit down and start thinking about some of the questions you don't know, won't matter because you don't need to know now. But when you're in that moment, everything that you need will come up. Everything. But you have to be like what Peter said, I'm fully convinced that you're the Christ. We have to be fully convinced, folks, because we're not going to come away from them and be separate until we get fully convinced. Because until we become fully convinced, we play the hokey pokey. Does everybody know what the hokey pokey is? Put your left foot in, you put your left foot out, put the left foot in, and do the hokey pokey. That's what it's all about. And you understand, that's what the devil wants. He wants you to play it, play around in there, turn yourself, and then so you turn yourself, doesn't he spins you around, he says, you turn yourself around. He's about getting you to turning yourself around. Yeah, that's right, Minister P. He laughed at you. He says, watch this. There was an episode of The Twilight Zone, I think it was called The Martians on Main Street or something like that, where these aliens figured out all they had to do was cause a few minor disruptions, flashlights, mess with the phone lines, and people started turning on each other. Well, I don't know if the devil produced it, but he sure took some cues from it. Because shows you an act over here where someone's acting dumb and he puts a tag on it, racist. And it gets you to the point where now you don't see people, you see racists. You don't see circumstances, you see race. He said, interesting. Let's mess with the politics. Now you see politicians. You don't see people. You don't see God's plan, God's word. You don't even see Christ. You see politicians. Now we see gender. And you can't even go with the gender that you see. But it's designed to get you doing the hokey pokey and... You have to be fully convinced. When I go to an appointment, no, I wasn't. My wife saw me get adjusted. She said, uh-oh, he's going to be a little longer. Well, I did say if you finished before I did, what to do. No. What was I saying? I'm sorry? Oh, yeah. When I go to make an appointment, they give you all the paperwork to fill out. It asks gender, male or female. I put male. If they had none of your business, I might check that. No, no, I put male. Then it asks me all these other questions. Who do I identify? What do I? How am I identifying myself? What pronoun do you use? I don't answer those questions. Then, you know, they review it with you. They said, well, you didn't answer these questions. I said, yes, I did. They said, no, I said male. What else is there? So I'm not getting sucked in. If they say, well, we can't see you, see ya. I'll go somewhere else. But we have to stop being sucked in. To compromise. I know there's one more thing, only one more. I know it's on one more because he gave it to me this morning. This goes under the category. There was a comedian, entertainer, Arsenio Hall, had a TV program. And he had a segment on that program, Things That Make You Go, Hmm. Oh, you've watched that program, huh? This goes under that category. John 14, verse 9. Jesus replied, Have I been with all of you for so long a time and you do not recognize and know me yet, Philip? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. Anyone who's seen who? Who's me? Has seen the Father. As Jesus was sent into the world, he sent us. We're to follow his example. So if anyone sees him, sees the Father, then you can say anyone that sees you also sees the Father. But if you don't come out from among them and be separate, whose Father are they going to see? As my spiritual dad would say, Selah. Think on that. Father, we thank you. We give you all glory, honor, and praise. Lord, we're like the sons of Issachar. We know what the times that we're in, and we know what we should be doing as the church because of the times that we're in. Thank you for making that clearer and clearer to us every moment as we walk out the work that you've called us to do. We thank you for your protection as we go. We thank you for the revelation as we go. We thank you for the provisions as we go. Because we are going. We are going. We thank you, Father, that as folks think about and re-listen to this message, they'll get additional revelation every time they hear. Because we are following your command. We've come out from among them, and we're going to be separate and not touch any unclean thing. In Jesus' name, amen. I keep hearing that chorus, and he's great as he who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's so wonderful. Everyone say hallelujah. Say it again. Now say hallelujah. He's so wonderful. He is. I hope you understand the spirit and the heart and the love that was behind what I had to share. You know, some of it may be tough, but if you think that's tough, try work going about things in the wrong camp. And speaking about the wrong camp, you need to be very, very mindful of your associations. Very, very mindful of your associations. Just because a person says they're Christian doesn't mean you're supposed to be there. If you read 1 Thessalonians or 2 Thessalonians, Paul talks about every Christian not really being a Christian. You need to learn, if you haven't already, how to be led by the Spirit of God. So you can't say yes to every invitation, every meeting, every fellowship. You have to be led by the Spirit of God. And be mindful. There's a little booklet called Itching Ears. You want to get in and read it again. You say, I've read that 5 times. Read it 6. Because you'll learn that you get attracted to things you want to hear. Why do you think people get caught up in illicit relationships? Because they have voiced what they're longing for, and Satan heard you. The Bible said every man is tempted when he is drawn away by his own lust and enticed. So again, we have to be honest with yourself, with ourselves, in everything. In everything. Come out from among them and be separate. Touch not any unclean thing. I don't care how good it looks. I don't care if she does have broad shoulders or she has green eyes. The Bible says flee. As in terror. So you flee and you're going, ah! So even they won't, if they catch you, they won't want you because they'll think you're a coward. And then don't turn around and prove, I'm a man or I'm a woman. Well, we already know that. We had one of our young people. We taught them for 2 years about chastity. And this one young lady said she prayed about this, and God told her something, because she said she had an acquaintance who was putting pressure on her and saying, you got to prove you're a woman. She prayed, and God sent her to the dictionary and said, look up the word woman. And she did. And she said, and Mr. Carr, nowhere in there did it say someone who's sexually active. I did a Pastor Clinton. I went, yes, you got it. You got it. So don't accept the world's definitions for you. That's not who you are. I don't care what initials are in front of or behind their name. If it's not in the Bible, It ain't so. Well, I guess I could do the announcements now. First announcement, I need to say this to you. I was in a service, and it seemed like it was a struggle to minister. I came back the next week, and everything was just flowing, just flowing. I said, Lord, what was the difference? The people. And here's what was different about them. Most of them came after praise and worship. They were late. And they didn't have the benefit of praise and worship to help them shake stuff that they're dealing with so they could come in and worship. So I'm encouraging all of you, service starts at 10 o'clock. You want to be here at 10 o'clock so you get the full benefit of the entire service. Because as you see today, it's not always praise and worship, announcements, offering, then message. We went from praise and worship right to the message. Because we're a place where the Spirit of God is directing. That's what he said, do. It's fine with me. But don't think, oh, I don't need, I can play praise and worship on my cassette or device. Forgive me, I'm not saying you have a car that old that has a cassette player. And if you do, that's not a knock. Praise God for his provision. But if that worked, when you came in, you'd be free. You wouldn't come in still feeling weighted down. But when you have a praise and worship session and the Holy Ghost is moving, stuff leaves you like the plague. Just... So you need to think about that. I said, we haven't, you know, sometimes you have not because you ask not. We haven't talked about it. I'm going to start talking about it. We need to see you at 10:30. At 10 o'clock, service here. And in Pennsylvania, 10:30. They get an extra half an hour. We'll go to bed early. You get an extra half an hour also. But all kidding, laughter, and lightheartedness aside, we want everyone to have the experience God wants them to have. You have to come and get ready. Come prayed up, come expecting. Bring your supply, bring your energy, bring your faith. When all of that comes together, there's an explosion in this place. And praise and worship pulls everyone together. We're one heart, we're one mind. And the Bible says when people are one heart and one mind, there isn't anything that they can't do. So we want to release the power of God in a magnificent way. And I will do this announcement, and then I'll turn over to Minister Mary Lou. In addition to the morning service on New Year's Eve, we will have a worship and prayer service to bring in the new year. That service will start at 10 p.m. and it will end at midnight. And I'll insert, we think. Now, let me tell you something about that service. Pastor Ed and I were talking about it. And at first I thought, we don't need to say it, but I feel that we do. I know historically New Year's Eve folks come out in their New Year's Eve gala, New Year's Eve dress, and all of that stuff. It's a prayer service. You're going to be praying in the stink face. Y'all know what that is? They call that the stink face. But you're coming here to do battle and prayer, to pray about things for 2024 that God wants out of the ministry, pray for the world, to pray for each other. It's going to be a glorious time. But it's not a time to Now, if you want to do that and change and go somewhere after, feel free. But we want you to be comfortable while we're battling in prayer. And yes, and praising, because we don't know what God's, well, we know what God's going to do. He's going to be God. Sunday, December 24th, we're having a, just got a blast of energy. I'll take it. On Sunday, December 24th, we will be having a combined bilingual service at 10 a.m. with RLCC Español. Pastor Ed will be ministering and somebody will be translating. He may give you a line or two in his Spanish. Somebody will be translating that too. The ministry offices will be closed for the Christmas holiday on Thursday, December 28th and Friday, December 29th. These men at work functions have been very successful. Men, you've been coming out, doing a great job up in Pennsylvania. We have another one coming this Saturday, December 16th. Work from 9 a.m. to 12 noon, and then fellowship with food from 12 noon to 3 a.m. It's good. We let you burn off all the calories, and you can put them back on. Yeah. Our next water baptism service will be held next Sunday, December 17th. If you would like to be water baptized, please sign up in the lobby after service today. And RMAI Northeast Region Summer Camp in Stevens, Pennsylvania, from Sunday, August 11th through Friday, August 16th. Children ages 11 entering the 6th grade through 12th grade are invited to attend. To register or donate, go to the Youth Fellowship, it says donate on our website. So go to the ministry website and donate. If you have a child, you can go there to, you know, pay the camp fee, find out in the lobby what that is, or on the website, I'm sure, what that is. Or consider sponsoring. We have children that need to go. And their parents physically can't send them. And they're believing God for a way. Well, if God is prompting you to be part of that way, go to the website. There are instructions where you can donate to that function. Because if we don't invest in our children, the world will. You're wondering, how come? Well, we're wondering why children are drawn to gangs. I'll never forget, I think it was in the 70s, there was a congressman in Brooklyn, his son was a victim of gang violence, and he went to the gangs, and he talked with them, and he said he asked them, the first question he asked them, every gang member he talked to gave him the same answer in the same order. The question was, why are you in a gang? Everybody, the first thing out of their mouth was discipline. The second thing was love. And the third thing was protection. I don't know if you understand the initiation process of a gang. If it's a boy, they get beaten up, they go through a gauntlet and get beaten up by every member of the gang. And then in some gangs, they have to kill somebody. Women have to be intimate with every member of the gang. And they put themselves through that kind of debasement because they're looking for discipline, love, and protection. You know what we call that? They're looking for a family who acts like a family. So we have children that they have family, they have church family, they have worldly family. Whichever one acts like they want them, will get them. It's time for, if you want to get me to the place where I really have to pray, talk about our young people. Talk negatively about our young people. Because I'll tell you this right now, they're acting like young people. That's not the problem. The problem is the adults are not acting like adults. We got to let the young people be young people. The adults have to be adults. We have to be mommy, daddy, uncle, auntie, pastor, friend. One of the things we've learned as grandparents is we can't supersede, I guess is the word, the will of the parents. The things I normally say, I ask permission. May I say something? May I share this? May I share that? Because that's right. There's order. But one thing that the grandchildren know, that mommy and daddy and their grandparents love them. We talk, we listen, we support. So they're not concerned about anything out in the street because they know they have backing. Growing up, I had mommy. I told you the story. I'm not going to take time to tell you again, but I was Miss Ruby's son, and everybody knew it. My sons, they were Foot's sons. They had T-shirts. Gregory was Little Foot's. Ulysses was small foot, Joaquin was tiny foot. And everyone, folks that were going to mess with them looked and saw Foots and said, oh no, those must be Foots kids, we're leaving them alone. Well folks, I'm going to let you in on a secret and then I'm going to go sit down over there. The children, our children, when I say our children, RLCC children, when I was the youth director, we have discussions. And one time they said to me, we need for our parents, when they say no, we need for it to mean no. I said, why is that? Well, we need to be able to tell our friends, my parents said no. I never thought about that. And it made me think. It takes pressure away because there's some things that they really want to do and they know they really shouldn't, but they really want to, so they'll, I know what, I have to ask my parents anyway, they won't let me go. And one will say yes, the other will say no, they'll argue about it, you get in, you're in a mess and you make the wrong decision and everybody's mad at you again. Children need to be able to trust, people need to be able to trust your word. Just like we trust what God says, he does everything that he says. He said in his word, because I looked it up last night after a conversation. Had I not said it and not bring it to pass? If God says it or said it, he's going to do it and you can count on it. And that's the way we need to be when we're talking about our children. We say they're the next generation. We look at the way the world is. Well, a generation didn't handle it the right way because otherwise it would be different. That's why no matter what, we go back to the theme of this message. Come out from among them and be ye separate. Says the Lord. Mary Lou, come.